You're listening to A Glimpse Inside on the Super Power Up Network, the show that affirms for people there is more to life, and it is possible to be happy, inspired, successful, joyous, and free. Welcome to A Glimpse Inside. I'm Wendy Perotti. You're listening to episode 3 of our 4-part series, Play Big, Lean In, and Own It. I'm here with Robin, and if you missed her first call with me, go back and have a listen. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. Robin's been committed to making an impact throughout her life and career by helping people come back to love. Her clients tell her that she has changed their lives. And Robin's always known deep down inside that the impact that she's made, that she's meant to make, is really a big one. She's meant to bring masses of people back into love. But like so many people, and maybe you too, something's been holding her back from going really big. She's ready now, and we're here today to help her get there. I'm all tongue-tied today, Robin. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
It must be because of the big energy.
The big energy. That's right. The big energy has my tongue all tied.
Yes.
All right. So we spoke, it was actually a couple of weeks ago because we had some crazy power outages here in the Northeast.
Right.
You had some sort of journaling and visioning homework to do. Do you want to fill us in on where you went with that?
Sure. I would say I mostly did the visioning because that was the one that called to me the most. And that I would, on a regular basis, tune into that. The image that I had during our last session really stuck with me. And it was kind of like an image you see in a movie where somebody's, you know, doing a book signing. I suppose you see it in real life too. So I just kept tuning back into that image, and not only the image, but the feeling around it, which was, I think, the thing that was most profound in the last session, was the visceral experience that I had of stepping into sharing on a much bigger platform and a much bigger stage than I am right now. And so I kept sort of dipping into that sensation that I had in our last session. And I don't know, I've just been sitting with that, and I'm working on a project. So I'm sort of wondering if that exercise is going to help me with the project so that it actually reaches a lot of people, you know, because like you said, I am really clear about my purpose and bringing people back to a place of love and connection. And I want that for everybody.
It's such an incredible mission that you have, and it really kind of drips off of you, this this love energy and this connection energy, and I love that you're tapping into in that way. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's get into your project and your vision and what we can do to sort of get you from here all the way to there. How does that feel?
That sounds great.
Okay. Absolutely. So for those of you who are also thinking about making an impact that's big, stay with us. We will be right back. And in the meantime, if this resonates for you, if you really do want to make an impact or have more in your life in some way, tap in and reach out. It's so easy to do. You can find me at wendyperotti.com or at aglimpseinside.superpowerexperts.com. And Robin, would you like to share on how they can sort of tap in with you?
Oh, sure. My website is comebacktolove.com, all spelled out. And that's the best way to reach me and find out more about my work.
Okay. So if any of this resonates with you, reach out to me, reach out to Robin. We're all in this together. There's no finish line for any of us. Even those of us like Robin and I who do this work, we're all on the journey together. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Tonya Don Rekla, Executive Director of Superpower Experts, and we want to thank each of you for making Superpower Up the number one podcast network for personal development and spiritual growth. Because people like you have the courage to say that mindfulness, healthy living, disrupting reality, the pursuit of consciousness, responsible entrepreneurship, and radical parenting matter. We now amass over 1 million downloads monthly in more than 90 countries. Our numbers keep growing because there are far more people willing to live divergently than mass media wants to acknowledge. For you, the change makers, the light bearers, the way showers, we say thank you. If you're ready to take the next step in your evolution, go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz. And as Neva Lee Rekla, our youngest podcaster, likes to remind us, remember, we all have superpowers and we can change the world.
We are back. Today you are listening to episode 3 of our four-part series, Play Big, Lean In, and Own It. And Robin from Come Back to Love is back with us this week. She spent some time in the last few weeks really leaning into the vision that she had in our first session. And so my first question for you, Robin, is if you had to guess, what stands between you, where you are right now, and that vision?
Well, I would say the first thing that comes to mind, which I remember and came up in the other session a bit, is a belief that I need a lot of money behind me to get to have that level of outreach. I think it's a belief, so I'm going to name it in that way. But that would just, if I just keep ruminating on that, that would just, or mulling that over, that would just feed like a negative cycle of belief. Like that would just keep looping around in a negative way.
Tell me why.
Well, because I could say, no matter what my income or cash flow or whatever is kind of irrelevant, right? I know that. It's really about my perspective, I think. But because I could say like, oh, I need, you know, tons of money to get my program out there or my name out there. Oh, but I don't have that money. Oh, but I need tons of money. Like just keep like running on a hamster wheel. Yeah, that doesn't really get me anywhere, I guess, is my point.
If you were advising someone else who had a program like yours and wanted it to be in front of masses and masses of people, what would you tell them?
That's a great question. I would tell them to write a book. Keeps coming around to a book. I would tell them also to reach out to people. You know, I know myself, I have a lot of connections, but assuming my friend also does, I would suggest that that person reach out to people they're really well connected with and ask for support. Let's see what else. I would also say that when work is in alignment with your truth and your purpose, that it's not about something external like money or dollars or, you know, paper with printed numbers on it, but it's about continuing to align with that purpose and watching how things unfold in their right timing. And I think that that's something that we're really disconnected from in our culture. Not to take us off sort of on a tangent, but you know, right timing is right timing, and we could try to force something, but I don't think it really works that way.
So it's about alignment and timing and sort of trusting that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've had that experience in my life where I felt really aligned with what I'm doing and it's something new. And I felt like the universe supported me in various ways that brought people to, you know, an empty room for me to bring what I love to them. And it did get, it did grow. It grew a lot. And I guess that brought me to where I am now, where I'm ready to grow even more. Mm. And that's the hurdle. You know, you said it when we first started. It's like, for me personally, like I grew something big and beautiful and meaningful in my mostly local, not only local, because I've taught at different national and international festivals, but still mostly local, let's say. And it would be so much fun to have it expand, you know, even more.
Okay. So these three things that you would tell a friend: write a book, reach out to people and connections for support, and sort of trusting the alignment and process. And before I ask you the question, I think that that third piece, that trusting of the alignment and the story that you just told, really is, I think you're right on. I've always noticed with myself and with clients that when we feel like it's a push, like there's a difference between giving something all you've got, like a locomotive, right? Just diving in and giving it all you've got. There's a difference between that and pushing something to happen.
Right.
And when we feel like we're pushing, we're forcing something to happen, we can make it happen, but it's never going to be the result that we want, right? So it's getting on the steam train and being that locomotive who's all in at the same time that we're trusting the process and sort of allowing it to unfold. Of those three things, what are you doing and what are you not doing so far for yourself?
I'm not writing my book. Okay. I do reach out to people for support, but I think I need to expand my view of that. Like I have sort of my local people that I, you know, most of them are friends, some are more colleagues than friends, but it's getting repetitive and sort of old. Like it's getting a little stale, you know. It's like a very, it's too small anyway. Mm-hmm. All lovely people. It's just like, how many times can we all ask each other to support each other? And we do. But I think it needs a little freshening up. And also for me to think about, you know, I know lots more people than those sort of most obvious people, I suppose. And then trusting the process. I feel like I'm doing better at that than I have in the past, for sure. For example, I'm working on a new program for couples that are wanting to recover after finding out about an infidelity or affair. And in the past, when I was working on a program, I would sort of be like rushing and pushing, you know, mainly because I was excited, but also from a place of, I don't know, anxiety or lack or something. And now I'm just feeling like, okay, when it's done, it's done. You know, like it's going to take time, and it needs the time. It deserves the time. It deserves the respect that I can give it so that it's really, you know, a world-class program and not something that I rushed into. Mm-hmm. That's my intention with that.
Okay. When you said that you're not doing the book, you said, I'm not writing my book.
I'm not writing my book.
Does that mean that there's one that's in the works that you're on a pause from, or you have an idea for one that you haven't started? What exactly does that mean?
Oh my gosh. Like in an alternate reality, in an alternate reality, Robin Vogel has written already 5 books, because I have so many amazing book ideas that I have flushed out over the years, and I'm talking like over 20 years, maybe not 20, let's say 15 years. And I have not taken one to, you know, completion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I haven't even really taken it into the, you know, first trimester. I think of it as a birthing process. And I feel like with this new program, you know, it could be really perfect. I don't know. It feels so overwhelming and it feels really daunting, the process of writing a book.
So a book is really a great way to do the things that you want to do. It certainly is not the only way to do the things that you want to do. And it is a big process, right? There's a lot of commitment in writing a book. Why a book for you? Is a book something that you should do, or is it something that you really want?
It seems like something that I would really want. It's interesting. I was just sort of fast forwarding, like, to the end of my life. Will I feel regretful if I haven't written a book? Mm. And I mean, okay, it's not the worst thing not to write a book, but I don't know. I feel like I want that. I feel like I will be so happy if I do that, and that I've really let myself get in my own way over the years around this piece. Now, we could say all those books that I thought I was going to write weren't the book I was supposed to write, but I don't know if I agree with that. You know, it feels like you said, it's a big process. I feel like I would need a lot of time set aside.
Okay. All right. We're going to play with that little belief of writing a book too.
Great.
There's one other piece that I just want to tap into a little bit because it came up last time, and the thing that you said stands between you had to do with money. And in your number three, what you'd advise others was that it's really not about money, it's about alignment and timing and trusting the process. And yet, there's a piece of this that is about money. This is about, there's a piece of this. This isn't just for you an altruistic mission. This is a business for you. Mm-hmm. And there's a piece of your reason for having a business that has to do with prosperity and financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make sure that there's some of us who are in the business of serving see money as something that is less worthy, right? Money is like the dirty uncle, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, in the thing that we do. And it's really not. I want to make sure that dirty uncle piece isn't getting in your way of, here's the thing, Robin, if you're going to do this, you need to welcome big money as well.
Mm. Yeah, that's a nice way to say it. Yeah, last time we talked about judgments around wealth and people that are wealthy or that I perceive as wealthy. Mm-hmm. That was helpful. Yeah, I need to welcome big money. I like that.
Okay. So just that's something to let yourself noodle and play with in the background as you're going through this and as we're going through this process to make sure that there isn't something about that that's keeping a door closed. We want all doors open.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Let me just jot that down so that I remember that when we're closing off. Okay. So let's talk about the book.
Okay.
Because the book was part of the vision.
Yeah, it was. It's what came in the vision last time.
Yeah, the vision was a book signing.
It was.
Yeah, and you can be really, really good at what you do, and you can be really successful in all the ways that you want to be successful and make the impact that you want to make just with your incredible programs. You don't need the book.
Right.
But the book is calling you.
It is.
Okay.
It is. It is.
What are the things you say? It seems like a big daunting undertaking. Yeah. What else? What are the other things that are in the way of the book?
Deep breath.
Oh, heavy sigh.
Exactly. I think I'm afraid that it's going to be an incomplete. It's already been years of incomplete in a way. So when I think about writing a book, I guess I'm afraid I'm not going to complete it. I also really want support, from the beginning. And that's...
Describe what support in book writing for you is.
That could be a co-writer or an editor or... I guess, accountability support is helpful. I do have a little of that right now. But I notice it's been wavering away from the book. It started out as co-writing, separate things, but together at the same time. But now I'm not, suddenly she's writing and I'm not writing. I'm working on other things.
So when you say co-writer, you're not talking about somebody to co-author the book with you. You're talking about the sort of accountability things where you write together.
It could be either.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else is getting in the way?
Belief about how much time it will take or how much time I need. It's funny, I was in this writing group called Write Your Book in 90 Days. I guess that sort of blows that idea out of the water. but I still have that belief that it would take a lot of time. I know I'm a good writer, but I think I have some creative block there. Is it going to be good? It's not going to be as good as this book or that book. That doesn't feel as strong, but it feels, I guess it feels like a pressure to have it be a certain way.
Hmm.
So, I think that's maybe a big piece than I realize. I'm a very out of the box person, and somehow what I just tuned into was a book is in this box. It looks this way and it has to be this way, and it has this format and the structure, and publishers like it this way. I don't know. It's probably a belief.
Yeah. If you could write a book however you wanted, what would that look like?
Well, I have an image of a big book where you could add, where people could do artwork in it or their own journaling. And it's, the image I had was like a bigger, one of those big books, almost like an art pad or a journal. I guess I feel like it has to fit into, or has to fit into, some kind of predetermined or predefined structure.
How true is that?
How true is it?
Not that you feel that way, but that it has to.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually think it's true. You might know better than me, but I feel like it's true.
So I think it depends on the way that you look at this, right? There are lots of, actually not as many as there used to be, but there are still many traditional publishing routes where there probably are a lot of those norms. And yet, people innovate constantly, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit tripped up by if I want the book to be a doorway to offering my program to more people or just my work to more people. It's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to look a certain way. But that's probably not true. Or at least it doesn't have to be true.
My instinct says it doesn't have to be true. And I think the thing that I'm wondering, is if you could work backward from the vision, what would be the first thing that you did? Work all the way backward to where you're sitting right now.
From the vision that I had of signing the books.
Mm-hmm.
If I could work backward all the way back here, I would write an outline. And I would stick to the outline. I guess I could also talk to a couple people that I know who have published a fair amount of books and get their feeling around what's happening right now in the market.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something that's kind of popping up for me, Robin, is that this book was such a heavy, I want to change that language, not heavy, strong vision, visceral vision for you. And both in our first session and today, you talked about how many book ideas you've had over the years. Like this book thing is not a one and done thing for you. And there are lots of people with book ideas, and when it comes right down to it, they're not willing to be the person who writes a book, because no matter what tools we give you, it's still work to write a book. We really would, everyone on earth would have one, written one, if it didn't take a lot to create one. Okay. But what I hear from you over and over is that there's a real connection between you and the concept of writing. And did you read, by any chance, Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic?
I didn't read that one, but I love her.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I have still not read Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh my gosh.
Right? And I have to. It's on my list. But yeah. For whatever reason, when it was written, I like magically took against it. I don't know why. And I never read it. And then someone told me I had to read Big Magic, and I was over it. So I did. And I love her too, and have all the plans of reading Eat, Pray, Love at some point. But the interesting thing about Big Magic is she's talking about, and it so resonated with me, the concept that ideas are alive. And so these creative ideas to write a book come to you, or to do other things, but she was talking about writing and we're talking about writing, come to you, and they're alive and they've kind of got this lifespan. And if you don't act on them, they go someplace else. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it's why so many of us have these brilliant ideas and then 6 months later, there it is on Facebook. There's your idea, right?
Right.
Oh my God. That's my idea. Well, you didn't do anything with it. Right. That's right. Somebody else wrote that book. And actually she tells the story of someone writing a novel that was so insanely like the one that she had written, that she felt that she pulled, that they had pulled this dead manuscript out of her drawer. Mm-hmm. And so she's talking about like the ideas have this life of their own. And I think the reason I'm bringing this up is I think that for someone like you who has had so many of those ideas come and visit you and has had such a tugging toward writing and has had so many people over time say, oh, when's the book coming, Robin? When are you going to write? You have to write a book. Right, all of these things tied together, and then there's this pressure, not only of, as you said, what the book is supposed to be, of fanning one of those ideas into life. And those ideas might be dead. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm wondering what would happen if you looked at the book as a book, not the book, right? A book. It doesn't have to be the last book that you write. It doesn't have to be the only book that you write. It doesn't have to be the best book that you write. It doesn't have to be the one that was your biggest and best idea. What if it were just a book and you gave it some space to kind of, you gave your mind some space to allow in the idea for this book. And then you trusted the process of allowing it to kind of manifest for you while you do your due diligence in putting it down. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do you hear how that's sort of different?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think one of the things that stops me is I keep wondering if it's the book. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, it's not that, it's this. Like, and I agree with you. Like, some of the outlines I've had and the different things I've done, those ideas are dead. Somebody else wrote them or nobody did, whatever. They're gone. But I think that one of the things that stops me is, and it's interesting because I'm not really a perfectionist. I'm not, but in this category, I'm like, is this the book I'm supposed to write? Maybe this is the book. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, what you're saying is there's one, there might be another, choose one and just let the space open for that one and see what happens.
One of the remarkable things about you that I think is my understanding of you so far is that you have worked to cultivate this and you've allowed it in. But my guess is that a lot of it is just sort of your innate gift, is that you've got an incredible tapping in, Robin. Mm-hmm. Along this journey, in this short one that we've had together so far, mm-hmm. you tap into things. You feel them viscerally. You allow them into your mind and to your emotions. And unlike everything else that we've talked about, the book all of a sudden goes into this linear space. Mm-hmm. And that seems out of alignment with the way that you work best.
Mm-hmm.
right? If you go back and listen to this podcast when it airs and you hear yourself describe the allowing of this program that you're creating and giving it the space and time because it deserves that, that seems to be the way you operate the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So
what would be different if a book had that kind of life with you?
Hmm. Yeah. I think that would, yeah, you're right. I think that would address definitely a big piece of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that would. That's a good thinking. And then the other piece around stick-to-itiveness. I think that's really the other piece that's in my way. Even though I said those other things, which are, you know, also there, but I think the first piece is what you just said, is to do that, to open space and curiosity and my intuition around it and let it come to me. Yeah.
So,
that's the most important.
There definitely takes stick-to-itiveness and some amount of discipline, right? To take on a project as big as a book, absolutely, mm-hmm. without doubt. And yet, there is a lot about you, Robin, that tells me you really have that,
mm-hmm.
When you're not in your own way.
Right.
And so I kind of am a little concerned that attaching something like discipline or stick-to-itiveness takes writing a book out of the world that Robin operates in.
Yeah, that's true. When I'm passionate about something, can't really get me away from it. So,
right? and I think what's interesting is you're really clear. I want some sort of support right from the get-go. I think that's you saying, in order for me to operate a book in my Robin-ness, I need something collaborative, right? I need some kind of, I can't just be at myself and my computer and this thing. I'll get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me seems like a really important instinct,
mm-hmm.
that can address the stick-to-itiveness without having to call it that or even think about it in that way.
Right. Yeah, just set myself up to be receiving support.
Right. I mean, for those of you out there listening in, what we're doing here with Robin is we're finding the thing that is Robin. There are some people who, if they write a book, we need to get out the calendar and we need to put specific, right from the get-go, deadlines and timeframes and outlines and all of those pieces. And Robin, you'll probably do some of that too, right? It's not that you're not going to do that. But our way into a process, especially one that is tied to a vision, needs to be your own. It needs to be the way you operate. And everything about you that I know of falls into the way you operate, except this piece and the money piece.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously this will be the stepping off homework, but just out of my own curiosity as we wrap up, in taking it away and moving forward, what are your initial instincts of how you'll tap into a book that are different than the way you've thought about it before?
I think I will have some practice time and to like meditate and really tune into it and see what's there. I think that feels important. Not I think, that does feel important. Mm. And then, yeah, it feels like an outline or some kind of information will come that way about this. I mean, I think I already know what the specific topic is because it's, yeah. I mean, the foundational book is Come Back to Love. It's like, you can take that in many directions, but I think the first question is, what is that? What does that mean? And I feel like that's the question to answer. That came to me while we were talking. And then think about what kind of support would be really supportive for me. You know, is it a writing buddy and accountability, or is it somebody to co-write some of the pieces for me? Or I did just write an ebook, and I had somebody support me, and it was so great. So now I have a feeling, a sense about what that could be from that experience.
I love it. So how would it feel if sort of moving forward from this point, that's sort of the next jumping off, this letting yourself kind of meditate on this and finding some support and seeing what that looks like?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be perfect.
And, I'd like to offer one other little piece of homework moving forward for you. For the time being, some sort of, again, I think it should be contemplative around money. Just an allowing yourself to receive.
Okay.
And it can be a mantra, or it can be a little spoken meditation that you kind of talk into your phone and that you listen to, or I'm sure there are tons of them out there that other people have on guided meditations around allowing in prosperity and wealth and abundance. My sense is that that's important here.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Like it's could be part of the block of the book.
It could be, you know, if the vision is a stage with like thousands of people and a book signing, and that book is going to bring in money. But you're going to have to accept that money is going to come with it.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds right. Yeah, feels good.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So love having you here. And can you tell everybody who's listening in how to get to you at Come Back to Love?
Sure. Yeah. You can go to my website, which is just comebacktolove.com, or email me, Robin with a Y, at comebacktolove.com. That's the best way to reach me. And I'm happy to answer any questions or have any feedback on these sessions with you, Wendy. So I love to connect with people.
Oh, that's awesome. And maybe you can come back and let us know how a book turned out.
Yes, that would be great. That's the best accountability.
That would be really, really fun, right? You can come on as a guest, yes. and we'll talk about whatever this particular book turns into.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I would really, really love that. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this work live and for other people to listen in. I know that they get so much out of, you know, hearing the inside of somebody else's processing it. You know, we all do. We're more alike than we think.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much, Wendy. I so appreciate your brilliance, your expertise, your light. This has been really, really valuable. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been really fun. And for all of you that are listening in and feeling like you want to make an impact, there's more for you in life, you want more love in your life, reach out to Robin. She's amazing. You have heard that here on the episodes that she's been with me. Reach out to me. Don't be shy. I'd love to hear you. It's so easy to get in touch. You can go to wendyparotti.com. Or go to aglimpseinside.superpowerexperts.com and you can come on the show. There's lots of free tools and materials and articles and all kinds of things for you to use there. So please do reach out. If you missed any of this series so far, especially our first episode with Robin, go on back and have a listen. And we'll see you next time. And until then, big love.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.